What were you saying?
I was kind of trying to figure out if, so I have a podcast now and do social media, but I know that my audience, which is just like weird misfit kids, are all on YouTube. And right. So I started up a YouTube channel. And is the mantra of YouTube pretty much
consistency?
Yeah, just post shit. Don't care about numbers. Don't read comments. Just keep posting. Build audience.
I mean, you know, it's a delicate balance because if you think about it, like for me, if I post, you know, I noticed that if I, you know, in December, I tried to do Vlogmas, where you do a different vlog every single day for a month.
So this is what I was thinking about doing. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I did it and then I felt, you know, that there's like a level to which people are happy right now when they see me do an iPhone vlog. But okay. That when I was doing one every single day for a month, they started to get kind of bored with it. The views kind of start to drop a little bit. But then there's a lot of YouTubers that I look at and, you know, they get a million views per video, but they don't put out videos that often. They might do every couple of weeks when they have a really good clickbait or a really good idea, so they know that's going to get a million views. And if I limited myself to only making videos that would get a million views, number one, that would eliminate almost every interview.
Right.
But in terms of just like making a video
I'm
based
pretty
around
sure
a thought,
this guy is going to get you a million views.
You know, and it could happen. But I mean, it's just kind of like a decision to be made. Do you want to? Do you want? My attitude has always been: I'm going to put out a ton of content, and unfortunately, a lot of the stuff that I think is the best is the stuff that does the lowest numbers in terms of like the best conversations.
Dude,
you
every
know?
Time I do a bit on the show that I'm like, this is the fucking funniest thing I've ever done. No, it just for me. Really? Nobody responds. Yeah. But I think it's ego too. Like for me, it's ego, and not in a cocky way, but in a self-hating way where, you know, one of the videos at the top of my channel, it was like when I was on TV and I was like, fuck the church. It was this like massive gay rights thing. Sugar Ray Leonard was in the audience. Like everyone was like cheering. And it was like, I think it's like 900,000, not even almost a million.
Okay.
And then I posted like something from my podcast, just like a random clip. And it was like 80 views. And right away I'm like, I'm fucking garbage. I'm a piece of shit. That's why I'm wondering. But if your goal is just not to, because I think a lot of people, not you, but a lot of people use YouTube and social media. I used to do this just for validation. Just I have a shitty life and I want to get likes or retweets or thumbs up or whatever. And I think if I'm not doing it for that, and if you're just doing it like you do to build an audience, then I think it's consistency.
I mean, yeah, I think consistency is huge. And I think, you know, if you have a breakout hit, which, you know, sometimes the YouTube algorithm smiles upon you. Like the way that they describe that it works is that basically you have like your bar that your average video is going to hit. But then if you like, so say every single time I put a video out, it does about 100-150,000 views on average, let's say, for my personal channel. But if I then, like, you know, then I put out a video that had a really good thumbnail that was like, who's the next big, is this the next big SoundCloud rapper? So that good thumbnail got that video to the point where a large percentage of my audience watched it. So then YouTube takes that as a sign and says, okay, we're going to jam this down the throat of a lot of people who are not subscribed to you. So in that sense, it's very important to just be consistent and to just keep going, because you never know when you're going to get that big outlier hit. And those big outlier hits are the ones that will then build your audience to the point where you're going to be able to put something out that maybe is not so obviously entertaining. Like if you want to look at PewDiePie, he is the ultimate example, because he has a huge following and he does these weird jokey inside joke fucking thumbnails, but still does like at least 5 million views a day.
God, it's fucking crazy.
Well, that's the grail.
It's the thing with art too. I don't know why I'm being like, if someone asked me as like an artist, as like a musician or a comedian or whatever, if they asked advice, I would say just don't try to do what you think other people want, right? Because then it just ends up being like watered down garbage, or maybe it'll fly for a little bit before people catch on.
Right.
But then I sit down, I'm like, all right, I got to start a YouTube video. And I'm like, what would people want? I'm like, fuck, man. Like, because when I was the most popular, it's when I was just screaming at people on Twitter.
Right.
And I'm desperately trying to avoid that. But it's like, you know, that's the shit that like,
you know, anything that agitates people. It's the same thing with like the fake news bullshit on Facebook. It's like, you know, stuff that agitates the fuck out of people is the stuff that's going to ultimately do well, because, you know, fake news is more sensational than straight news.
I was thinking about this the other day about how fake news, I think a lot of people think, is just a Republican Donald Trump term.
Oh God,
so they ignore it, and it's fucking not. Like the reason Trump could get away with it is because the media has been full of shit forever. What I was thinking thinking about recently, and I don't know your thought on this, but I met my girlfriend's conservative family this Ooh. Weekend. So we talked a lot about within like 5 minutes, we were talking about religion and politics, and I was like, "What am I doing?"
If I was going to meet the family of my girlfriend and they had very different political views than me, then I would probably try to avoid really talking to them about politics.
Dude, it was kind
of just didn't work.
It was kind of the best. No, really? Okay. I think we became closer because of it. Because here's the thing, I knew. If you told me you're going to be in a room with two Trump-supporting gun owners, like dad works in oil, it's literally like a fucking laundry list of people who wouldn't like me. Huh. Like, I've hung out with Noam Chomsky. Like, Republicans don't like me. You know what I mean? And, like, if I had a gun, I would shoot myself. Like, it's awful. And, but I... So if you were like, you're going to go in a room with those people, I'd be like, well, I guess we're going to fucking fight, or I guess we're going to argue. But all I knew about them before is that they are incredible parents. They love my girlfriend. My girlfriend respects them more than like anyone on the planet. And so knowing that they had the same values as me, it was a really interesting, and this is what I've been learning on the podcast, like, because I have conservatives that listen to the podcast, which would have never happened to me 10 years ago. And if you come at it not assuming everyone with different viewpoints is a fucking Nazi, and you're like, hey, you love your family, I love my family, but we're just going about it in a different way, then you can actually have a really good conversation. Now, if you're a fucking bigot, if you're like a racist or whatever, then there's no conversation. It's we're enemies.
But there's a conflation issue, because nowadays everybody fucking... If you voted for Trump, which clearly a large percentage of the country did, then to a lot of people, you're just Nazi. And that's kind of the conversation killer, because those people aren't interested in having a conversation with somebody who voted for Trump. For myself, I don't have an issue with that. I feel like I don't have this like built-in animosity towards conservatives. And I feel like a lot of people who are kind of on the leftist side of the aisle kind of look at me as like a alt-right adjacent figure in a sense, just because I don't specifically like denounce Trump that
often.
Well,
they're alienating. Who's that dude who the last time I was on the show... tweeted, and for some reason I had him blocked, Keemstar. Yeah. So he tweeted something fucking great today where he was like, you're alienating the independents. Like when the left is, I forget what it was in regards to, but whether it was censorship or cancel culture or whatever, I'm sure it was something like that.
So we should talk about that specific issue that he's talking about. I don't know if you're super clued in about this, but there's this dude, Carlos, and he does videos for Vox.
Yeah.
He's that little meek glasses guy that is, you know, talking about all these socialist topics on Vox.
And he went after, there was like that conservative Steven Crowder.
Steven Crowder has been making videos basically like debunking whatever Carlos is saying or whatever Carlos has going on for years, apparently, according to Carlos.
Was he dropping the F-bomb?
I don't believe, dropped the F-bomb. I think that Steven Crowder is somebody who's very, very smart about exactly what the line is on YouTube. Right. So, you know, he sells shirts that says socialism is for fags, but then it's like F asterisk GS, you know,
just to throw some confusion in the mix,
you know. And but I mean, I think that it's kind of a, I'm gonna have to take my position here, because I think what Carlos is advocating for is deranged.
So what's he advocating for?
He is saying that because Steven Crowder has, you know, habitually responded to his videos, and in those videos he's choosing to focus, Carlos is choosing to focus on Steven Crowder having used some sort of homophobic language, like, you know, he's called the probably the most damning instance was when Steven Crowder referred to him repeatedly as a lispy queer.
Interesting.
So
did he put an asterisk for lispy?
It wasn't in text form. It was just like on his show or whatever. And then Steven Crowder's argument is, you call yourself gay, you call yourself, you know, queer, you use all these terminology, all these terms or anything. It's not like, you know, and I think that's why Crowder is so smart about how he handles this, because he's very careful to be able to, you know, sort of skirt around pure hate speech, which is something that, you know, is when you look at like what Milo was saying, Milo didn't last that long because Milo quickly went over the edge.
Right. He tried to be like the kind of like gay, like ankle tour or whatever.
And just went way above and beyond.
I mean, it's so hard. I mean, it's not hard. The bottom line is, if you support free speech, it's easy to support your own free speech, right? It's easy to like talk a big game about free speech when it's shit you agree with. But if you support free speech, then you need to support the free speech of people who disagree with you. With that said, I don't fucking know what it's like to get the shit kicked out of me and be called a faggot. Like, I don't think Crowder should be censored at all, but I do think that if you have a big audience and you're not necessarily responsible for that audience, but if you are like constantly berating one gay person, I think here's where I think the left fucks up. I think where the left fucks up is like they go, oh, if you support Hillary or if you criticize Hillary Clinton, you're a sexist. Uh-huh. It's like, fuck you. That is more infantilizing to Hillary Clinton. That's saying, oh, you can't criticize women. You know what I mean? Like Hillary Clinton supported wars which killed thousands of women. Like yeah. First rule of feminism, like don't kill the fucking women. Don't bomb them. Right. I think that you should be able to call out people's policies. I think if you're not calling out a gay Vox reporter because he's gay.
You just wet this.
I don't think that's accomplishing anything. Mm-hmm. But it's also like Crowder's a smart, funny dude. Like you can also probably be better than just like cheap gay slurs or whatever. But fucking way should he be censored.
I haven't actually dove in. What I want to do is go watch those videos that Carlos is complaining about to see what percentage of them is actually homophobic, because right. I think that that's relevant. What it seems like from the outside is that the Carlos dude is basically, he wants to censor Crowder by any means necessary. He's pissed off about the fact that Crowder keeps putting out videos where he basically dismantles this guy's ideas,
right.
And you know it's a conflation problem where the actions of Crowder's fans are being viewed as if they were his actions
and
himself,
that, yeah,
because you know Carlos was posting screenshots of him basically being doxxed, being right. Text bombed by hundreds of people, everything like that. I mean.
But the left does that too.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like we
easy, all the time.
All the time. It's just one side feels more righteous about it. I mean, the bottom line is social media is just like a playground of fucking sad delinquents. Whether you're on the left or the right, the best example is when the left got Roseanne fired, when Roseanne called that woman an ape, right? The black woman, Valerie Jarrett. And then everyone on the right was suddenly talking about free speech, free speech, free speech. And then like two fucking weeks later, the right finds those old jokes of James Gunn, the guy who directed Guardians of the Galaxy. He's a big lefty. And then suddenly everyone on the left who was going after Roseanne was like, oh, free speech. It's like, you guys don't have fucking principles. You don't have values. You just want to go after the opposite person's team. And that's when it becomes – that's when you don't get to have conversations with people like my girlfriend's parents, right? And you don't actually get to see how much you fucking agree on and how many overlapping values you have, because you just want to shit on the other team and nothing will get accomplished.
And the Carlos guy, like, I just don't understand what he's advocating for that could really be anything besides just like brazenly anti-free speech, because Crowder at the end of the day is really just, I believe, I haven't seen these videos in context, but he's essentially critiquing his ideas with a little light homophobia mixed in there. And I'm not in favor of the light homophobia, but at the same time, it's like, what is the line? Because YouTube is setting a really dangerous precedent if they were to say, okay, Steven Crowder, we're going to get rid of you and your channel with 3 million subscribers because you said Mexican. You called this guy Mexican. You called this guy gay.
You called the Mexican guy Mexican. Have you gotten shit from YouTube? Because I know there's a lot of the like sort of like Dave Rubin, Jordan Peterson, like center right type people who claim that they've like had videos like more controversial, more right-wing videos get like demonetized and stuff like that.
I mean, like my videos are very rarely political at all, so that's
why this
good.
Shit's getting a million, baby.
No, but you know what I did notice is that last video that you and I did, I gave it the good old-fashioned clickbait title of like reformed feminist talks about getting canceled, etc. No ads. That was immediately age restricted and everything, so that the views on that video, once they take the ads off, once they demonetize it, the view count is essentially frozen. So your video, I think, got to maybe like 40 or 50,000, but basically that means that it's not going to be pushed out to people more than it already was to my existing fan base, you know, which is kind of scary because that is the kind of title that I could see easily going viral on the old YouTube. Or if I had named it something that had been able to artfully avoid the kind of thing that they're looking to make sure that people don't click on, you know, then it probably would have done.
You should reverse it and you should name this one former sex predator becomes male feminist.
Oh God, you put sex predator, you're demonetized. Right, it's
fair,
over.
Fair, fair. Yeah. See, this is why I need your help with my YouTube channel.
No, yeah, it's a challenge for sure. Yeah, but I'm just very interested to see how the situation plays out because what's his name? Fucking Carlos is going after the advertisers. So that's going to be interesting to see. He's trying to start another adpocalypse right now. That's what's going on. And I mean, that's going to make him the enemy.
Even
of the
when
YouTube
I
community.
Was on like the very left and I was calling for people to like, you know, apologize about things they said and blah, blah, blah. Whenever they targeted the ads, that always scared the shit out of me. I mean, that's what's cool. And that's why, like, I don't even want ads for the new podcast is starting to do great just on donors alone. And I like that, I've had people be like, we're going to target your sponsors. It's like, have fun, motherfuckers. No one wants to sponsor me. I don't have fucking sponsors. And like, I do like that freedom, but it is really scary. I mean, it's the equivalent of like, we're going to tell your parents, you know? And even to take it further, this whole idea of like people not being able to come back once they're canceled, how, you know, I think right now, whether you like agree or disagree with what Louis C.K. did, well, no one's like agreeing, but whether you think what Louis C.K.
did. Agree with him jerking off in front of a bunch of your coworkers.
Whether you're a pro coworker jerking off or not.
Gotta hear both sides.
It's kind of like the fact that he's doing clubs now and people are protesting and threatening the clubs and all this stuff. It's like, do you just want this guy to like die and not provide for his kids?
Right.
Because the left, rightfully, as I am still, is like very pro prison reform, right? Like our prison system is fucking gross. Like we house mainly nonviolent drug offenders. We're not actually trying to rehabilitate people, which they say it's what it is. I mean, we're putting people, there was a kid, I was just reminded of this. Jay-Z was talking about this a while ago, where there was a kid who stole a backpack in New York, didn't have trial, was put into solitary confinement in Rikers Island, which is torture.
Yeah.
He was in there for over 30 days, got out, killed himself. Jesus. And so we're like literally torturing people in prison, right? So one of the reasons that I still consider myself liberal is because I'm against all of that shit. I think that's really bad. However, it's very ironic that the same people who are against prison and, you know, want like murderers to have a second chance and all this stuff, think if a comedian jerks off in front of someone, he should just fucking die in the sewer. Right. Like at what point, if now we are canceling people based on public opinion, not on trial, it's not like Harvey Weinstein, not like Cosby, not like someone who like raped someone and was tried. But if we're trying people on public opinion, then how do they know when their sentence is over? Like how do they get to come back to make a living? And for me, it was the temptation was there where I was only getting offers from conservative places, where I was offered like a book deal to like write the essentially the like why I left the left, and I'd be fucking rich and it would be really, really nice.
I could see that doing well.
Yeah, of course it would. And then I would be a Fox News pundit. It would be great. And I had nights where I was like living on a couch and I was like, I'll fucking check out this Ben Shapiro guy. And I'm like, nope, I'm still not. Like, I couldn't go for it. I like, seems like a nice guy. He emailed me once about an article I wrote.
But, really? What'd he say?
He said, LOL. He liked it. Because I think I mentioned him. It was the
you
one.
You were shitting on him.
No, I wish. No, it was the one where I was talking about when I used to be like a douchebag social justice warrior on Twitter.
Okay.
And he saw I got called transphobic for it, even though I didn't mention trans people in the article, because that's how the internet works.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, so that would have been easy, right?
Well, you got a lighter.
And like, that's kind of your only path to redemption. Like if Louis wanted to like come back in a big way right now, if he just went fucking full conservative and even more offensive than he was, like he would make a really good living. And I think he still will.
I mean, you could kind of argue that he almost has, because I've seen some quotes from some of the stuff that he said during, you know, I forget exactly what it was, but it was pretty hardcore shit.
But he always did that.
Yeah,
like,
okay,
if
that was
you like watch
him,
like his whole catalog,
right?
He's always done that. But the fact that it's like my biggest chance for a quick redemption, like make money, get to go start a family with my girlfriend, have a nice life, would be to go full conservative instead of just being like, no, I'm still liberal, but I think what a lot of people on the left do with censorship, with cancel culture, is bullshit. And I think there is a big audience for that. I think there's a lot of liberals, like Keem was saying, like there's a lot of independents, there's a lot of liberals who are being pushed away by the left. But they're quite frankly like afraid to fucking talk.
Right.
Like, I've had people recently who used to listen to me when I was super progressive, like, send me, like, secret Facebook messages being like, hey, I thought what happened to you was bullshit, and, like, I still support you and whatever. But it's, like, 5 fucking years later and, like, in a hidden message. It's, oh, like, yeah. People are terrified of the mob right now.
I'm terrified of getting looped in with those kind of people. And really,
right.
When I say those kind of people, I feel like that
gay
blanket
Mexican
statement.
Just kidding. Don't censor us.
Those are the types of people who don't give a fuck about you and are just going to run off on you on the most bullshit ass stuff. And that's why, you know, through my canceling, I realized really who fucked with me, and I realized what type of people fuck with me, and I realized that it was much more street level people. And I wouldn't say street just mean rappers and stuff, but, you know, all the skateboarders and BMXers and the people that I really like came up around who never even considered for a second like writing me off,
yep,
or not wanting to fuck with me just because of some unsubstantiated bullshit. And that was like, you know, kind of a revelatory moment of like, why am I pretending to be friends with a lot of these people who clearly don't give a fuck about me? But that's,
yeah,
kind of like the mainstream Hollywood outlook on life is,
dude,
just to be this sort of judgmental piece of shit.
The same shit, the exact same thing happened to me, where when I got wrapped up in the political world, I kind of bailed on my stand-up roots. Mm. And, you know, I was talking about, like, I mean, my old interviews, like, there was a period in time when I was going overseas, and I'm only saying something positive about myself because it'll get negative very fast. But, like, all the reviews were, like, the next Bill Hicks, George Carlin. Every interview I gave, I was like, censorship can suck a cock. Like, I was very blatant about that. But then once I felt like my comedy career started failing or plateaued and I was getting this really big political following, I kind of, like, everyone was like, well, we should talk about this comedian who said this offensive thing. And I jumped on board. And so a lot of, like, my heroes and friends, like Doug Stanhope and Joe Rogan and all these guys, like, we got into big arguments about it. And so I was like, fuck comedy. Then my, just like you, like, my canceling happens.
Wait, you had an argument with Joe Rogan because you basically said fuck comedy? Like, what
yeah,
was that
like?
Yeah,
it was like, it was...
In what context were you saying fuck comedy,
sure,
at that
so
time?
So Daniel Tosh made that rape joke where he told a woman in the audience, she goes, rape isn't funny. So this is the way, here, this is your classic,
you,
like, Twitter. Yeah, this is your classic, like, Twitter fake news thing. So what all the liberals get, our, like, daily intel, like, our facts is Daniel Tosh tells woman, it'll be funny if you got raped by 5 guys.
Right.
And so we're all like, fuck Daniel Tosh. What actually happened, and what Rogan told me the last time we hung out, the last time I did his show, which was great, the whole story was Daniel Tosh shows up at the Laugh Factory to do, like, to a fuck around set. Daniel Tosh goes to the audience, hey, what should I talk about? Some fucking douchebag guy goes, rape. Then Tosh actually makes what I think is a really subversive anti-rape joke. He's like, oh, right, because rape's totally funny. We can talk about the shame. We can talk about the blah, 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 the blah, blah, blah. And everyone laughs, like, killer joke, right? Then the woman goes, rape's not funny. He goes into comedian mode, says it'll be funny if you get raped. She leaves, cries, writes a blog. And then next day, it's Daniel Tosh loves rape, or whatever the headline is.
Right.
But all my side got was the first part. You know, we didn't get that, hey, he's doing a club set, he's fucking around, he made a subversive anti-rape joke, then some woman screamed some bullshit, and he shot back at her, which is what you do at a comedy,
right,
club. I'm sure if he had more time to prepare, he would have thought of something else. But my whole team was like, Tosh has to be shut up. Not censored, but, like, I think there actually was a campaign to, like, get Tosh canceled and, like, you know, write to Comedy Central and stuff like that.
But at the very least, they want to, you know, have their Twitter party.
Have their Twitter party. And so, like, I jumped on it. And, I mean, I never said anything too bad. Like, I said, if Daniel Tosh has the right, because I was on MSNBC with, like, a panel of comedians. But I definitely took the, like, feminist side over the comic side, where I said, you know, if you're, like, he has the free speech to make, kind of like the Crowder thing. Like, you have the free speech to, like, call him a lispy Mexican. I have the free speech to call you, like, a fucking bigot. Whatever, right? Mm. Like, it should work both ways. I didn't call for anyone to be censored. But then Rogan and I just got into this, like, huge fucking debate about feminism.
On Twitter?
And, like, no, on his show.
Oh,
about,
okay,
like, rape statistics and...
This was during your interview?
Yeah, not the recent one. No, not the redemption one.
You had two.
This was like, I was on a couple times. I think 3 or 4 times.
Oh, sure.
Right. But this was the time before. But anyway, so going back to what we were talking about, I lost a lot of my friends. Like Rogan and Stanhope, like these guys who I really looked up to, were like, he sold out comedy for like this weird political feminist world. Right. And it was true. But then when my canceling happened, and then the way I work is if I feel like I failed, what I used to do was instead of taking any responsibility, I would just be like, fuck them. Mm. You know, so fuck comedy. Comedy always sucked. I don't watch comedy. It's just like comedy is like dead to me. Right. Because I feel dumb and I feel like I failed. And so then when my canceling happened, all these like journalists, all these like intellectuals who would call me to get them like on TV and shit like that bailed on me so fast without checking on me. People who knew I was like suicidal, everything, my friends, my family, not my immediate family, but like, you know, and then the people who called to make sure I was okay were like Rogan and Stanhope. And it was all these comics that I trashed as like, just like street punks who hate women. And it's like, no, what I forgot is amazing about comedy is just like delinquents and misfits and outcasts who are just more fucking honest than a lot of people.
That's how I feel about rap.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, everyone has those fucking thoughts. Mm. It's just, they have the balls to say it. And actually the reason that it was so easy for people to go after me was because I stopped being that honest, vulnerable person and started being this self-righteous political person who was casting judgment on other people so I didn't have to look at my own shit. Mm. So when someone like that gets burned, it's like, fuck that guy. And I get that. But then once, yeah, the comics and the artists like had my back, I was like, yeah, like these are my people.
But you would think that free speech is the kind of thing that we should all agree upon. But now, I mean, we're clearly in a situation where free speech, where social media being regulated is in our face. We have people like Carlos calling for YouTube to basically take down Crowder's channel just because of, you know, his language that really is not so homophobic as he's painting it to be. And then at the same time, now they're investigating Google and Facebook. They're talking about breaking them up.
Yeah.
It seems like in all of this, we're going to, I mean, I think the best thing that could happen is if there were to be some kind of standard that wasn't just us appealing to Twitter, Google, Facebook to ask them who should be, who should be shadow banned, who should be promoted. I mean,
it should be if you're calling for violence against people, no good, right? And I mean, the argument about like homophobia and stuff could be that by using that kind of language, that's going to inspire people to, but what we should be doing, this is why, like, we were talking about jiu-jitsu before we went on the air. I feel like everybody needs to get, like, punched in the face once in their life or needs to get in a fucking fight. Because I think if we just handled this, like, just if we handled all this stuff just a little tougher instead of going to, like, mommy and daddy or, like, taking our shit and running away or trying to get someone canceled, like, what would have been really fucking cool, and again, like, I'm a straight dude. I don't know what it's like. But what would have been really fucking cool is if Carlos, right, is his name?
Yeah.
Is if he had a conversation with Crowder about
but
it.
See,
or was
that's
like,
what's
let,
funny
or
is
was
that
like, let's debate the points.
When
but
he
when
showed
you,
his doxing of all the messages that he got, the messages were debate Steven Crowder. Like,
right.
That's what they were flooding him with.
Yeah, and if Crowder would do it with good intentions, and if it was like, hey, dude, we can debate about these points, but so you know, when you are telling your audience, when you're calling me like a little fucking queer in front of your audience, maybe you would never do anything, maybe you're a good guy, but now I'm getting, you know, fucking tweets being like, I'm gonna kill you, faggot.
But
then
it's clear that our standard for what should be allowed on social media can't be that it might happenstance inspire a doxing campaign or some harassment campaign.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, you have to accept that Steven Crowder being willing to have his opinion is okay. Like, it's okay for him to have his opinion. And if it's going to inspire some people to talk a bunch of shit and have a whole bunch of hate, any public person like that, Carlos dude is barely, he's on the fringe of even being like a celebrity or anything.
I didn't know who he was until this whole thing happened.
I noticed that when I first started looking at his Twitter that he had 80K and he's now at 100K. So at least this has benefited him in some way.
Well, and that's the thing too, where like, I used to do this where like, again, progressive, my old progressive disclaimer, I'm like a straight white guy, but anytime you play, or even me, when I tweet something about my depression or my suicide, like, oh, I get the fucking loveliest comments. Like, it is a good day. When you play the victim, you're rewarded. And like, look, minorities have it way fucking harder than white dudes in this country, right? There's a reason, like, there is institutionalized racism and there is systematic oppression still, and those are things we have to talk about. But I'm talking about on an individual level, on Twitter, on social media, you are kind of rewarded for that. Like, there was definitely a part of him that knew his shit would blow up.
Oh, yeah.
If he did that.
He knows exactly what emotion he's trying to elicit in people.
Yeah, and I would much rather him and Crowder have the conversation. I mean, I think it would be fucking cool if Crowder was like, you know what? Like, if he saw this and if Crowder bounced back and was like, you know what, man? Like, if that's all that was upsetting you, like the language I used, I'm so confident in my debates that I'm going to stop that language entirely and I'm going to dismantle all of your arguments. Like,
Carlos is not. He wouldn't be willing to go do a debate with fucking Crowder because in his mind, his
well, he won already.
His out is going to be, I'm not going to debate you because you're a bad actor and you're not acting with good intentions. I mean, the amount of issues that they disagree on, it's hard to even imagine where they would start to really debate. Like, I can't even imagine what it would look like. To be honest.
Well, I mean, I don't fucking think Alex Jones should have gotten banned because here's another reason. If, let's say Crowder's a homophobe,
you know
this? No, I'm good. The last time I did, all my thoughts went out the window.
That's what it's for, yeah.
Every time I smoke, I'm like, this is going to make me sound smarter. And while I was talking
earlier, it did kind of occur to me, like, you are not particularly verbally verbose at this moment. At least because I'm kind of stepping outside of my comfort zone when I talk about the Steven Crowder and Carlos thing. If we're going to sit here and talk about rap, I could be high as fuck. It's all good. That's my sandbox that I'm used to being in.
Yeah, nothing is more of a buzzkill than like getting high and someone bringing up like the military industrial complex and you're like, no, I don't want this.
I've been on acid and had girls start talking about fucking stuff like that around me and start talking about politics, saying stupid shit. This was one time, obviously. It's not like something that constantly happens.
What girl is this?
No, but these girls, they were just talking, and they weren't just talking about that. They were talking about rocks and signs and special rocks that have powers. I don't believe in any of that. And I'm sitting here fucking off acid, just like thinking in my head, like, this is the absolute worst place for you to be.
I had a girlfriend who, she did like Reiki and there was just no way, like I had to end it. Cause I was just like, I can't support like what you like. There was part of me, she like asked what sign I was. And I wanted to be like, I'm a Taurus, which means I'm stubborn, and I'm a Pisces moon, which means I think astrology is fucking dumb. Like at one point I remember we got into a fight cause she like pushed her dog off the bed and I was like, yo, go easy on the dog. And she was like, it's okay. We have an understanding. Cause like I knew her in a past life. And I was just like, I'm leaving LA. No. This is literally why I'm leaving LA.
I cannot date you. No. If you're going to say shit like that, hell no. So,
if you're going to abuse a dog and be like, it's cool, I knew her in a past life. I beat the shit out of her, the dog, in a past life.
Oh, my God. But I would tell her, I'm going to beat the shit out of you because we have an understanding of our past life.
In a past life. But yeah, with Alex Jones, so let's say Crowder's a homophobe, right? I don't want him going underground. If he's like a real homophobe, which I don't think he is, I think he was like trying to be funny. If he's a real homophobe... Yeah. I don't want, this is the Alex Jones thing. It's like, yo, Alex Jones fans were saying scary enough shit when they were in public. You ban them from public platforms and you just like send them into the fucking sewer. Like, I don't want, and then by the way, they're right. Like all of these arguments about, you know, fake news, censoring the right wing, like now they are right. We are doing that. And once we start doing that, it's a real fucking slippery slope where what's going to constitute hate speech, right?
Yeah. If calling a gay man gay and calling a Mexican man Mexican and acknowledging that someone has a lisp, if this is how low the bar is for hate speech, we're going to have a lot of problems going forward. And I agree that some of that stuff is sort of unbecoming. But here's the thing, is that the 30-second clip that Carlos posted on Twitter, maybe it's a minute long, it looks offensive, but it's not that offensive. And that's digging through all of his videos to try to paint this picture of him as being as bad as possible, as him being this homophobic monster. And I just disagree with the conclusion that Carlos seems to have come to, which is that he says YouTube is a place designed for people who want to do stuff like this. YouTube won't do anything. He says that YouTube won't do anything about it because they make so much money off of Crowder. I would acknowledge that probably 90% of Crowder's videos are demonetized. He talks about it all the time, how he has to do the mug club thing because he doesn't make any fucking money. I know how much money I make from YouTube videos, I would imagine his situation is far more dire. It's definitely not a greed thing on YouTube's part. It's a free speech part because YouTube knows it's a slippery slope. If they ban Crowder after they just banned fucking Alex Jones, it's going to look really weird and really bad, and there is no equivalent on the left.
No, and it's like, use this new attention you've got to make your own YouTube show and to debate his points and to be fucking better. Like, that's the whole... what's that cliche? Like, the only way to beat bad speech is with better speech or whatever.
Yeah. And I understand he doesn't want someone making videos about him all the time. But if you're going to make videos talking all the time, then you got to accept that some here and there, somebody's going to dislike you.
Dude, and that's the thing. I mean, I have people, and like, I fucking hate it. Like, I'll have people still either jokingly or like on Twitter, whether they're verified or not, be like, hey, weren't you like accused of like rape?
Exactly.
And you want to just be like, can I sue you? Because no, fucking absolutely not. That's not even close. And like, I sit there staring at it, and my first thought is like, how do I get rid of this? How do I stop that person? Like, this isn't true, whatever. And then you just have to realize like, there's fucking nothing you can do about it. And like,
it is weird though, because those people who are saying that about you are usually probably people that aren't getting that much attention for what they're saying. Or, you know, this Carlos dude is having a Crowder's massive army who are very motivated.
Right.
So I acknowledge that I don't necessarily understand. But I mean, I've had people saying completely untrue things about me that got thousands and thousands of retweets. And it's that's how you say, you know, is there an appeal feature coming at some point where I could say, oh, I'm not a convicted rapist. Right. Like this tweet that has thousands of retweets says,
you know,
because it's like, I can't, what am I going to point out that I can't even acknowledge it because it's going to draw more attention to it.
I know.
But if I say, no, actually, I've never even had a conversation with a police officer about any of this stuff. I've never been arrested. I've never had any serious actual accusation made against me. It's just anonymous accusations in the press. Is that going to get the tweet deleted?
Right. And does that even help?
Like, is that fake news?
I thought about that. This girl, she was actually well-intentioned, so I wrote her back. She's like, have you ever talked about it? Have you ever responded? And by the way, for any of your listeners, like, I wasn't even accused of, like, accidentally groping. It was literally, like, consensual one-night stands, but I was this jerk-off feminist guy.
Yours was closer on the spectrum to the Aziz Ansari thing.
Not even. Because, like, the one girl that the girls that I hooked up with in my thing, they said I treated them very well.
Like, you ate their pussies?
The one girl, what's that?
You ate pussies?
Of course I do. I'm not a monster. Dude, my fucking...
With a stranger?
Listen, here's advice.
I used to do that.
This is my advice for women. Find a needy guy, because I will die down there before you don't come, just because of my, like, sad, vacant hole in my heart. Mm. Like, my tombstone will literally read, like, cool, 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 but you came, right? Like, that's gonna be, like, it.
You have girls like, stop eating my pussy. You're doing too much.
Let me suck your dick. Be fucking man about it. Yeah.
You get head for like 30 seconds. And you're like, let me eat you out again. I feel bad hogging you. My girl does that. I'll start eating her out for 45 seconds. She's like, let me suck your dick again. Like, I could tell that she just doesn't want, like, she's kind of like shy. She would rather give than receive the attention.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, you gotta relax. You gotta just lay back.
I have those conversations too. I'm like, you should learn to fucking enjoy it. That's going to be taken out of context and sound like rapier than I meant it. Learn to enjoy it.
Yeah, it's inevitable.
But fucking you. But yeah, so this girl writes in, and you kind of just sometimes defending yourself almost makes you look like not guiltier, but like defensive. Like, I remember before I went on Rogan's, I was talking to some of my friends about like what I should say and what I shouldn't say, because I also didn't want to like start trashing women. I've been in that position where I have a lot of great, I think most of the listeners on my podcast are actually women. But every once in a while you'll get like, I'm sure you get this too. Like one dude like lurk out of the bushes. He's like, bro, big fan. You're like, oh, thanks, man. And he's like, we got to fucking shut up those whores. Right. And you're like, nope, nope. I don't want you on my team, dude. Like you don't want to go that route. And I remember I was talking to one of my friends. I was like, I almost want to like list like the amount of women I've been with where like this shit didn't happen, or talk about like the amount of women I've talked out of fucking me is like absurd, where I'm like, you don't want to do this. That's but good. Even that stuff, as funny as it is to me or true as it is, it just makes you like look defensive. So you just kind of got to do what you do, well, where it's like, this is bullshit. I'm not talking about it.
You don't want to jump into the fray when there's no real incentive for you to do so. Like, this is the first time I've talked about the Carlos and Crowder thing,
yeah,
because I thought about tweeting about it, but then I just, you know, I'm thinking about it, I'm like, do I want to get destroyed on Twitter for the next couple of right. days? You know, do I really want to submerge myself in this big fucking debate? Because I already see Carlos talking about Keemstar, because Keemstar oh, really? Said something negative about him. Yeah. It's like, you know, they're clearly not above coming for people who are going to defend the guy. And the last thing, this is like an image issue for me, it's an optics issue, is that the last thing, I agree with Crowder on a free speech level here. I think that, you know, his platform being censored would be a tragedy in this, in a free speech sense.
For sure.
I don't agree with Crowder's politics on a large majority
pretty
of things.
Pretty much everything. Yeah,
but
same.
The last thing I would want to do is be, you know, because if I go out there on Twitter where so much context is lost, I'm going to be conflated with, you know, this guy who's like, in a lot of people's eyes, a white supremacist. And right. especially as a person in hip hop, it's a very, very awkward, weird position.
That's not marketable.
That's not my brand that I'm coming yeah. after, is to be like
the white supremacist.
The one guy in the rap landscape who has who wants to defend Steven Crowder. It's like, do I really want to put myself in that box? But from a free speech issue, I'm looking at it like, I feel like almost everybody, if this situation were explained to them in a hip hop sense, would look at that and say, of course this guy's oh, channel yeah. shouldn't be fucking deleted.
Well, look at the shit like Eminem said. I mean, look, oh, yeah. here's the thing. You want to live in a world where especially artists can say whatever the fuck they want, or we're done. The thing that gets me through the fucking day, because I have to be on Twitter to promote the podcast and stuff like that, but what gets me through is there's an article in the New York Times that said pretty much like the majority of people are not on fucking Twitter. Mm. And the majority of liberals do not subscribe to this whole like cancel culture. They're just like old fashioned fucking liberals, like take care of the poor, don't bomb a bunch of poor brown people, go for it on abortion, all done. Right. They're not trying to look up like 10-year-old tweets that Kevin Hart made that could be homophobic, right? So Twitter isn't real life. Mm. I mean, when my shit happened, as minor as it fucking was, Twitter feels so, and social media in general, this is why these kids are killing themselves. I would be fucking dead if I grew up with social media. Right. I mean, I almost got catfished and kidnapped because someone on AOL Instant Messenger pretended to be Mick Foley, my favorite pro wrestler, and he was going to train me. Like,
Wait. And he was going to try to...
Oh, he's going to train me to be a hardcore wrestler.
But then you later realized...
Yeah, I met the real Mick Foley.
But you're sure that this guy was going to kidnap you?
Or, no, or that but you're just he assuming. Wanted to okay. like meet and train me and was saying he was Mick Foley and I was like 16.
Holy shit.
And so he like, this is so pathetic. He named me. He was like, you should be hardcore Don Lee because you have a martial arts style.
The fake one.
The fake Mick Foley. So then when I met real Mick Foley, I was like all confident. I was like, you may know me as hardcore Don Lee.
And he was and like, what?
He's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I was like, on AOL Instant Messenger. And he was like, oh, you have to stop talking to that man.
Holy
like that
shit.
Is not me.
I knew this girl that got catfished by a dude pretending to be Bam Margera for like years.
No.
Yes. And his picture was just, he wasn't pretending to be Bam Margera. He was pretending to be whatever dude in a different state.
Yeah.
But he was using a picture of Bam Margera. And this girl apparently was culturally fucking stupid enough that she didn't know who Bam Margera was.
No.
And years of her life on this.
Years.
I mean, she told me years.
That used to be a huge fucking thing, like especially in like AOL, like age, sex, location days. But anyway, so I would have died on social media. When my cancel thing happened, I mean, pretty much every time, even when Republicans used to go after me, anytime I would get a Twitter storm, I would like walk around with like a hoodie and sunglasses, like I'm a criminal, because you just think that it's real life. Because when you think about it, like we take Twitter everywhere, right? So if I'm on a date with my girlfriend and I choose to look at my phone, a stranger is calling me like a cuck while I'm at dinner with my girlfriend, or someone's calling me a faggot while I'm trying to take a shit. Like, you're literally inviting it into your world, so you feel surrounded by it. And then you go outside, and everyone's just fucking nice.
And I feel Twitter is actually almost conscious of this dynamic where it's become such a nasty place that such a huge majority of people don't feel comfortable on it.
Yeah.
That it feels like, yes, there is a lot of like high level dialogue taking place on Twitter between people who are sort of like extremely well versed in this world and everything, but also a huge percentage of people just feel like, when you look at celebrities, it used to be super common for celebrities to just live their lives on Twitter.
Yeah.
Now they do it on their Instagram story, on their Instagram much, much more.
Yeah.
And it's such a different platform because, okay, let's say I post a fucking a photo or a video that somebody finds offensive, and the most influential, loudest, most ridiculous feminist comments on my post.
Yeah.
It's not going to get that much attention. But if that same person quote tweets you, it's fucking game over. People are just, and this is very much associated with Twitter more than the other social networks, that this is where the dragging takes place.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Instagram is where you just go, like, I've never got, for the amount of shit that I get, my Instagram is heaven.
Same,
it's just like my fucking cat and like inspirational quotes and jujitsu videos and shit. But Twitter, it's a garbage pile. And these voices know that all they have to do is be loud and target advertisers, target celebrities, target networks.
Yeah.
And these corporations will capitulate to their demands. That's why I think the Alex Jones thing was so bad, right? What Alex Jones did with Sandy Hook was not good. Crowder using homophobic language is like a step below that. Also not great. But if we just keep going in that order, then we're just going to get to the point where, like, what if you just disagree with someone politically, they get banned? And that shit's really scary.
And you know, Twitter doesn't feel like a healthy place for a lot of this dialogue. It's just a lot of things that might pop into my brain that would seem like something worth discussing. Even like the conversation we've been having about, like, you know, women basically having their songs written for them in rap music.
Yeah.
It's like, holy shit, I know what I'm doing. When I say something about that, I know that I'm stepping into a fucking landmine field where a minefield, that sounds better, where it's just, you know, if the right person decides to quote tweet me and say, fuck you, it's going down.
Oh, it's horrible. It's over. I know. I think that, I mean,
not that it's over in any significant sense, because I don't give a fuck. It's not going to bother me, but I know that my Twitter is going to be madness.
I wish that, I mean, I think that's why podcasts are so popular now. I mean, like, the podcast I'm doing now, it's like I literally will have like 17-year-old gay punk kids write in and then like a 50-year-old conservative. Because the only place that I'm writing for is like Quillette, which is a little more conservative. And then I have like my old fans who know me from like, you know, This Shit or Rogan or comedy or music people or whatever. Mm. And, you know, like I've done shows with like Talib Kweli, which who's like as left as you can get. But now I'll only be invited on like conservative shows.
Talib's music is a lot better than his Twitter.
Talib's music.
His music's great.
He's
had great music.
He has great music. His Twitter.
When he's beefing with Sam Harris, they were going back and forth.
A couple years ago. Going back? Oh yeah. I remember that.
They were going at it. And it was white supremacists this and blah, blah, blah.
Whoa.
He was going in. Talib versus Sam Harris. It's almost kind of surreal to think that happened.
I'm trying to get both of them on my podcast because Talib's done it before. And now the conservatives listen. I just want to get them the fuck off Twitter.
Are you aware that you walked in on a little flip freestyle earlier?
No.
That's what that was. That was pretty epic.
There was part of me that I like heard it and was like, God, I have to follow this by being like, let's talk about politics in a nuanced fashion. Like,
nobody's watching live right now, so you're pretty safe. Man, watching him freestyle was a fucking glorious thing.
That was crazy.
I mean, he's a legendary freestyle champion, so he was just having me throw beats on. He was just going for it. I mean,
Jesus.
He's stupid experienced with the freestyling thing.
It's like you have to have balls, rhythm, musical talent, poetry skills, and be like as funny as like the best comic.
Yeah.
Like it's all of those things at once.
But you see it when you watch somebody like a little flip freestyle where it's like he's rhymed every syllable with everything 5 million times. So anything that he says,
there's like a
bank.
Then
he then has to spit another bar that rhymes with it, he's got 5 million fly sounding things that he could say off top. Because he was saying so many funny, great fucking lines. I'm sure some of that stuff has been said before in some of his million. Because he's talking about having like 1,500 songs on his hard drive right now. I mean, these guys are like ridiculously prolific when they want to be.
Well, one of my favorite freestyles I ever heard, and he actually came on the show before he blew the fuck up, was Donald Glover. Because Donald Glover comes from an improv background. He's like an improv comedy background. So it's like you put the musical talent behind that, and then just the balls to just be funny on the fly. And it's like, dude, I think a lot of musicians are funnier than comedians. I think a lot of comedians are more insightful than journalists. I think, you know, it's weird that sometimes, you know, there's that phrase, like, all rock stars want to be comedians, all comedians want to be rock stars. And right. like, there is truth to that. Yeah. That's why I wish I was watching, I was watching Jay-Z last night on Dave Letterman's Netflix show.
See, I gotta watch that. I
it's
heard a lot about
really
it.
Fucking
and the
good.
Kanye the thing too,
yeah,
right?
So I watched the Kanye one first, and
that's big.
Man, liberals turned on that guy fast. You remember when he was like our fucking hero because he said,
"Really can't say I blame him either, man. He's fucking gone above and beyond."
You gotta watch it because okay, he talks about it. Mental health, which I think is really important, and I also think that we. If we feel a vacancy in our life, we want celebrities to like fill that vacancy where we want people to be these sort of infallible spokespeople for us. So when Kanye, after Hurricane Katrina and the incredibly racist response to Hurricane Katrina, when Kanye looked into a live CNN camera and said, George Bush doesn't care about black people, it was like, this dude was our hero. I mean, we were just filling up stadiums with refugees and black people were drowning in the streets and it was fucking atrocious. And Kanye was the only one to say it. Then the right gives him death threats. Him and his family essentially have to go into like fucking hiding, right? We praise his music. We love his music. Kanye is our black friend. And now people see him watching a Jordan Peterson video.
I would say it's more the slavery comments and the Trump support more
the
than
Trump
anything.
Support, yeah, but also
did
like,
they catch Kanye watching Jordan Peterson? I missed that.
Yeah, yeah, they found it in his browser. That's what I thought was the
amazing.
Funniest over the Trump thing.
Oh, that's great.
Well, one, now you have Kim Kardashian like helping this organization get prison reform like in the White House. That's great.
Yeah, she's doing the most for image repair that he's got at this point.
I know she's so good at it.
That's big.
But then if you watch the interview, he's pretty much like he compares himself to Andy Kaufman.
Right.
Which is a comparison I never thought I would hear Kanye say. But also, like, he's mentally ill. Like, he's legitimately bipolar. And liberals, the way people turned on him so fast, it was like, wow, you were really excited to attack, like, a mentally ill black guy. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like almost like they had, like, free rein to do it suddenly. And there was just – and they just, like, fucking unleashed on him like he was making policy. Like, he was Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. And by the way, like – I wouldn't, but like black people are allowed to support Donald Trump. Fucking gay people are allowed to support Donald Trump.
But the black people largely don't. Like, I mean, I feel like if anything, there's a huge number of people in the rap community who really don't fuck with Kanye anymore, but don't say it.
Oh, interesting.
I know a whole bunch of rappers, like big, mega famous rappers.
Because of the political stuff?
That if you read between the lines and really like look at some of the things they've said or some conversations that I've had off camera or things I've heard from other people, Kanye, there's a lot of people who have nothing good to say about him now. They feel that he is 100% a traitor.
That's what Jay-Z... it was an old interview that Jay-Z did with Letterman, but when Letterman asked him about Kanye's like Trump stuff, Jay-Z was like, Kanye's always been nuts.
Right.
Like Kanye was the one, he said something like, Kanye was the one who before he had a record label or a record deal was in the room with us standing on a table being like, I am a prophet or like some shit like that. Like he's always been fucking nuts.
But I mean, I feel like Jay-Z, if that's his answer, he's kind of obscuring the initial point because in the same way, he doesn't want to make a confrontational statement.
Well,
about Kanye.
What he said was he was like, he goes to Letterman. It was funny. He goes, do you have a brother? Like, do you have any siblings?
Yeah.
And Letterman was like, yeah. He's like, do you have a brother that you fight with? And Letterman goes, I'll let you know when we're done. Like, essentially, like, yeah, of course I do. And Jay-Z was like, that's how I look at Kanye. But watch the interview, man. I mean, what I wish... Here's what I don't like. I don't like people who supported, because I don't agree with fucking Make America Great or Trump. And I'm not defending Kanye's slavery comments, like, at all. What I'm seeing is the smug liberals on Twitter who loved Kanye when they were towing their line suddenly being like, he's fucking crazy. I'm not going to listen to him. Right. And it's like, you can say he's fucking crazy. I hope he gets help. Like, or you can, you know what I mean? Like, when I saw Kanye, like, say some of that crazy shit, my first thought was like, I hope he's okay.
Yeah, I think crazy is a pretty fair word to use for him, though, to be totally honest.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in the whole Kim Kardashian thing, because if you look at it, her side in it, because her image, you know, like my mom, My mom don't know shit about shit. My mom's like 68. But my mom has said negative things about Kim Kardashian to me because in her estimation, in her view, Kim is, you know, just famous for, you know, being naked, getting piped out by somebody's sex tape, stupid ass reality show, whatever. All the most cliche things people say about
Kim. I
really
hope your mom used the term piped up.
She probably didn't say piped up by Ray J. But she, you know, she doesn't care for Kim Kardashian. And then she's sort of, you know, representative of what a large percentage of people might have as their opinion about Kim.
Yeah.
But I feel like Kim, with this prison reform stuff, if she stays the course, if she doesn't lapse back into having the image that she had previously, she could very easily steer the conversation about her so that it's almost impossible for anybody to have a conversation about her without acknowledging all this amazing work that she's done. And that's, you know, it's an interesting image repair project that I'm looking at her going into here.
It would be fucking great. And by the way, like, we don't know what Kanye will do. Like, we don't know, like, when Kanye gets his shit together, like, he could go the opposite way again. Like, we don't fucking know. He's like, Kanye, I think, is gonna go down as just like one of those artists that we were always just kind of watching, being like, what the fuck's he gonna do? You know? And people can shit on him or say they don't give a fuck about Kanye, but like, they'll always read the article or they'll listen to the new album.
Right.
But yeah, I do think it would be a fucking bummer for, especially when we do have a president that, like, pretty sure he's fucking racist, to have someone like Kanye defend him on the surface, like, yeah, that sucks, right? But if the reason he's doing it, like, Kanye, if he was like, I'm gonna defend Trump because I gotta build a wall to keep those Mexicans out, then it's like, all right, go fuck yourself.
No, I saw an interview with him where he couldn't even identify, like, any policy of Trump's that he actually agreed with.
I think it's what fucking Keem said, where I think the left is pushing so many people away that, like, I'm not gonna go as far as Trump, but I'll tell you the reason that I have Jordan Peterson's book and I've watched a bunch of his shit, because I was like, fuck the left. And they're, you know, they're calling this guy like this horrible monster, and I'm like, I want to see what he's about. Then I go see what he's about, not that bad a dude. And so then that makes me go, well, what else is the left fucking lying about? Or what else are they? And so it makes sense that it would go to Trump. And that's why I think that's going to happen with a lot of young men too. I think that if we don't have masculine good role models on the left, and we're just telling every guy on the left they're toxic or they're the problem or they're the enemy or whatever, you need male role models. Like, when I left the left, it was the first time I started listening to Rogan again, and you know, hearing these like Navy SEAL guys, like hearing Jocko, hearing these tough guys be like, hey, get your shit together, be tough, take fucking responsibility. I was like, oh, shit. You know, or when I heard Jordan Peterson be like, you should make your bed in the morning. I'm a 37-year-old man, and I was like, I gotta fucking make my bed. Like, I acted like this was like a huge epiphany to me. And then YouTube will be like, hey, if you like Jordan Peterson, check out Ben Shapiro. If you like Ben Shapiro, check out Trump. Like, if the only guys saying manly shit are on the right, then Kanye kind of went down a path that I bet a lot of especially young men are going down right now.
Yeah, definitely. Then, right. Did you see that Susan Wojcicki, however the fuck you say it, the CEO of YouTube, that was part of some story that came out where basically her son, her like teenage son, is a big Ben Shapiro fan.
Whoa.
And she's, you know, she actually said that she would like to ban Ben from the platform. I believe this is the story. That it was her that she said that she would like to ban him from the platform, but he doesn't break the terms of service, so she can't. Which I guarantee is the same exact way that she probably feels about Crowder.
Right. Yeah. Totally. Yeah, man.
If her kid is vulnerable,
right,
any kid could get got. It could be all right.
And so I feel like, so this is the Carlos thing where I feel like, and what, like, I think conversations like this that you are having are important. This is what I'm desperately trying to do on the podcast, where I think that if instead of trying to get the people you don't like banned, trying to fucking understand them or have intellectual counter arguments, I think is really important. Like, I'm going to try to get Jordan Peterson on my show in a heartbeat, and I'm going to talk about the things I disagree with, but I'm not going to talk about it like a fucking self-righteous douchebag.
Right.
I want to know why he believes these things. Mm. And then you can start to see similarities in what you believe, and then you can have a conversation, and then you can find gray area, right? Like, abortion is like a perfect example where if I only call pro-life people woman haters and pro-life people only call me fucking baby killers, no one's going to get anything done, right? But if both of us can come together and be like, hey, sex education is so fucking bad in America that the first time I jerked off, I thought I broke my dick because like I didn't know what cum was. I didn't like, I had no fucking idea. Like, I just thought I was dying. I was trying to like push it back in.
Wow.
Like, I literally had no fucking clue. So if we could have good sex education, isolate this clip. If we could have... if we could have good sex education and teach kids about condoms and birth control and all that stuff, now you're going to have far less abortions. But instead, we're not having that conversation. We're going, you either have to be on our side or you're on their side. You're either a baby killer or you're a woman killer. Mm. And it's like, hey, why don't we just figure out what will cause less abortions? Right. And the answer is that.
Let me ask you this. Why are you leaving LA? What's going on?
I'm leaving LA to mental health, but also, like, I mean, I'm probably not going to talk about this in any other shows, but, like, rebuilding was fucking hard, man.
Yeah.
Like, I went from a screaming social justice warrior making a shitload of money to, like, losing everything. Like, all my fans and friends and money and all this stuff. So moving out of L.A., one, is going to be a fuckload cheaper, but it's also going to get me away from the noise. Like, I made less art when I lived in LA. It was more, if I would go up at the Comedy Store, I would have to be like, I guess I got to do my good set because Rogan's here and all these people are here. Like, I can't fuck around or try new stuff. Or I would be like, what do people think about me? Like, does this person think I'm like a creepy guy? Or does this person think I'm like alt-right? Or, you know, so much shit was in my head. And I feel like getting out of here and going to like a quiet hippie town and just focusing on the podcast and writing and maybe even doing stand up in like a local scene and remembering why I like art, that it wasn't because I want some fucking agent who's going to ignore my phone calls to see me, but it was about connecting with an audience and building an audience and saying controversial things or whatever. I think it's kind of going to re-energize me where I'm like, I've been like suicidal as much of like, as soon as like yesterday. And I just miss making things. And the podcast is really starting to take off. And I think that my girlfriend just quit her job to help work on it. And I think if I heard this great quote that was creativity comes from constraint sometimes, or constraint can breed creativity. And I think that's true. I think if I'm away from the noise of LA and just in this like apartment, like surrounded by like nature, I think it's going to force me to make stuff for the right reasons instead of make stuff and then be like, oh, are people at the comedy club going to think that's too right wing, or are they going to think that's too liberal or whatever? It's like, I'm just going to make what I make and then put it up on YouTube and put it, you know, on the podcast and just do it that way.
On the podcast, are you doing it with guests for the most
part?
So that would be my main worry about moving anywhere besides LA, is that this is very guest heavy.
So, I mean, what was cool about having guests in person is, like, I feel like me and you became friends, which maybe we wouldn't have over Skype, or, like, I just had Larry Charles, who directed, like, Borat and all of Sasha's movies, and, like, we became pals because he came to my, like, apartment. But I think for YouTube, Skype actually, until I could get this kind of fucking setup, like, the Skype split screen looks better.
Right. That's true.
And like the quality is so much better than it is now. So the way the show goes is Monday through Wednesday, it's like a half an hour news recap, shitting on the left, shitting on the right, bringing people together, but it's short. Thursday is an interview. So we'll have like either like a controversial like IDW, like, you know, Jordan Peterson type on. And then like, yeah, I'm trying to get like Talib Kweli and like Sean King on. And everyone is talking to an audience knowing it's mixed. So instead of just my old show, which was preaching to the choir and just us agreeing with each other, we're actually trying to like find, as cheesy as it sounds, like the humanity in each other. So like last week I had this like fucking like radical lefty journalist on who has been called like an Iranian spy and a Russian spy by like Republicans and liberals. Wow. And she was fucking great. But then the week before, there was a woman who's known as right wing because she was an ex-Muslim woman who was abused by her family, forcibly married off to an Al-Qaeda member who was bailed out by Osama bin Laden.
What's her name?
Yasmin Mohammed.
Okay.
And now she speaks out against radical Islam, but she's called this fucking right-wing Islamophobe. And it's like, yo, she was married to a fucking terrorist. she's allowed to criticize Islam.
Right.
And so it's been these fucking really interesting conversations. And then there's like a Patreon episode on Friday, which we talk all about like mental health and shit like that. But that's it. And the show's building like a really fucking cool community. And the I'm only interviewing people that I like, or that I think we can like learn something from. So like David Frum, who like was in the Bush administration.
Yeah.
He's speaking out against Trump now, but he also wrote the Axis of Evil speech. Like, he wants to come on. And, like, I'm going to fucking criticize the war, but I'm not going to try to do this, like, gotcha shit.
Right.
Like, I want to know how he feels about it now. Like, as a human being with, like, a family. But I also think it's really good what he's doing now, like, criticizing Trump and the sort of extreme conservatives. So, like, I think these conversations are possible to have. It's just not, it's not as sexy. Like, the show doesn't grow as fast. If I went on Twitter right now and was like, David Frum, you're a cunt and a bunch of Iraqis are dead because of you. Like, oh God, it would blow up. It would be so popular. The cool thing is once people listen to the show, they stay, and they become like obsessed with the show. But yeah, getting it out there is tricky because I don't want to be starting shit on Twitter. Like, I want to like enjoy my life now. So yeah, that's why I'm glad I got to plug it. And talk about it here.
No, happy to do it. What's it called?
Jamie Kilstein Podcast. It's free on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. JamieKilsteinPodcast.com just has all the links to make it easier. And I wrote a blog about how badass John Wick was, which is also on there.
I got to watch that. I haven't seen any of them.
Oh, it's so fucking good. I saw it twice in 2 days.
Wow. Okay. You got to run, right?
Yeah, I gotta go. But last time I was on, your fucking people were awesome. And like some of like the most hardcore fans are the people who found me here. So yeah, all my social media is on that website too. Twitter is just at Jamie Kilstein. Instagram, the Jamie Kilstein. There's a Facebook, all that stuff.
Cool. Hey.
Thanks, man.
Appreciate you coming on, man.
I'm glad I got to see you before I left.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'll probably be in Arizona sooner or later. I'll hit you up.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's hang out.
All right. No Job Bear Coolest Podcast in the World. Actually, I think I'm going to make this on the this is the Adam 22 show. So maybe I shouldn't say my usual outro. No, fuck it.
Yeah, say both.
Yeah. Adam 22, No Jumper. Jamie Kilstein. Peace.